well, this is Pirate RC, and I'm out at the Belly Up Tavern here with Twin Shadow. How you doing?
I'm very good.
Good.
Call the cops and tell them what we've done. Tell them that tonight we stole your father's gun with your right hand.
You're waiting for sound check here in California. It's actually nice out.
It's really nice out.
You actually just came through Texas and kind of the heat there.
Yeah, we did Texas, through New Mexico, through Arizona. Very hot all the way.
How were the audiences out there, though? Were they pretty...
You know what? Phoenix, Arizona, like, surprised me. Like, they were incredible. Like, I thought we were, like, playing a hole in the wall. And no one was going to come. But it was packed. And we had, like, kind of a crazy night afterwards.
Yeah.
Running around town, so it was good.
It was cool.
Yeah.
So, this tour for you, you're promoting your upcoming album. It's coming out like less than a
week.
Came
out today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. It's the 28th already.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, today's record release day.
Oh, wow. And so you've been promoting it online and even selling it like super cheap. It was $1.
Yep.
And so that was definitely something that was different to do. A lot of bands will just do like one song for free or... you know, buy the album now and get this song for free. So what made you or your guys go with, like, the $1 idea?
We just wanted people to have the record as soon as possible, you know, because of there's so much that isn't seen that goes into putting out a record and getting it in a store and properly marketing it online. I was very anxious to get the record out a long time ago, and it kept getting pushed back and pushed back. And I just wanted to give people an opportunity to grab the record for cheap. I knew that it had leaked.
Yeah.
So it was just like, rather than have people steal it, like, at least they throw a penny in the well and then, like, enjoy the record.
Yeah, and it went pretty well, right? I mean...
I think so. We sold records pretty quickly. And,
yeah.
We got to our, what we wanted to do with it, and... it's over now. Now we can make real money.
Exactly. Is this the first, like, full record that you didn't produce yourself, that you actually had?
Well, I mean, it's really my first record.
Yeah. Almost.
Well, kind of. Other than some old bands that I was in. But, I mean, Chris and I co-produced it, you know, really. I kind of had done the record and then brought it to him.
Okay.
To kind of like fine tune, and we worked very closely together, so yeah, I mean, it was I very much feel like I produced the record and Chris produced the record.
Yeah.
And also this guy Prince Language from New York, he worked on the record a bit too.
Did you learn anything working from those guys and just even about your recording too?
Definitely. You know, Josh Taylor is his name, and not related to Chris Taylor, but he's Prince Language. He works with a lot of DFA people, and he does a lot of remixes, and I learned a lot from him, just on kind of more sparse disco-like drum programming, like new disco. And, you know, Chris... Taylor is just like, you know, a wealth of knowledge about recording. You know, he kind of taught me to care a bit more about, you know, not just throwing a mic anywhere and, like, you know, placement and all that stuff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So that was good.
So did you record with the band who's touring with you, or did you just record everything on your own?
No, I pretty much did everything. Mostly in my apartment. Sometimes I was out on the road and did some stuff in hotels. But I played pretty much everything. The girl who's playing keys, her name's Wynn Bennett, she played on synthesizer on a couple songs on the record. I brought her kind of in later in the process, and she added a few things here and there.
So do you like playing with a band and having a full band on stage with you?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's super, super important. I don't like one-man bands. I think it's boring.
Did any song kind of surprise you once you had a bit of a different instrumentation behind it? Did it change the song?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all of them are very different, it feels. And it's good. We're trying to find a happy medium between, like, being a live band and representing the record. And this is the first tour doing it. We're doing it very minimal. We have two synthesizers on stage. We may add a drum machine, but right now it's pretty much, like, pretty standard rock band.
Yeah. So is there a place that you have really loved? I mean, you mentioned Phoenix, but, and you've done New York. I mean, just being from there and playing around there, is there any place that just kind of you really like playing and you like the sound in the venue and all that?
Atlanta was really fun. It was like the Earl was small and really easy, and just like people were great, the food was great. some kids took us to a club after the show and we went and partied with them, and it was really fun. I like the South a lot. I can't say that there was a room that... The 930 Club in D.C. sounds great. It's a great sounding room.
Yeah, and it makes a difference the way, just the material they used for each, you know, each venue.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we played at the Orange Peel, which is a great club in North Carolina, but it's like this huge space, this huge cavernous, it feels like you're playing at like a line dance rodeo show or something. And that was kind of weird.
Who are your influences? Because you've gotten compared to different people. I think Prince was kind of one of them that I didn't necessarily hear more than just, I guess, see maybe sometimes, depending on your hair. No, right. But who really has influenced you?
It's the list is so long. For this record, I wouldn't say that anyone in particular influenced me. It was just like remembering music from the past, stuff that my older sisters listened to, stuff that my mom listened to. You know, I mean, Bowie is a huge influence on me, because of the way he changes things up. Not so much any particular record that he did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm more influenced by like. by ideas rather than sounds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I write so much music and do so much music, I find that I don't really listen to much music.
Okay.
I used to, but when I was like really listening to music a lot, I was listening to punk music.
Really?
You know? Yeah. And don't try to play naive. Like, I know that there's, you know, people say I sound like Morrissey. Well, I do love Morrissey, but
yeah.
I was never like a fucking like Smith head, you know. I wasn't. I wish I was that cool, you know. I wish I was, but it's just I love them. I think they're great, but it's not like I never had an obsession with it. You know, I was obsessed with Boyz II Men and with any Keith Sweat and like bad R&B from the 90s. You know? That's what I was obsessed with. That's, you know, I begged my parents for Boyz II Men tickets for half my life. You know.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, you know. I love the Beatles, like, who doesn't? You know?
Yeah.
I love Dylan. I love Dylan to death. So I don't really know. It's like, it's hard to pinpoint, even
right.
for myself, like, where it all kind of comes from.
Do you remember what the first album was that you bought?
I think it was Paul Simon's Graceland. It was the first CD I bought.
Right.
Sade Promise was another record that I bought. Probably one of the first, and but probably a Boyz II Men tape is probably the first.
Yeah.
Before we had a CD player.
Yeah, which we all went through that.
Yeah.
Like when we were kids.
It's weird.
The tapes and like kind of wind them back.
My family was very late to the CD player. I was like, Mom, are there kids at school with this fucking CD player?
So when did you start performing, and how did you end up? Kind of the front man versus, you know, just other bands, maybe not.
I think my whole life I've wanted to be either in a group or like the leader of a group, you know. It's just always been there, I guess. I mean, that's always kind of been the way it is. Only until recently did I really realize that I work best alone. But, or not alone, but with very few people.
Yeah.
That took me a long time to realize. And that helped me out a lot when I realized that. So, you know, leading myself is kind of a lot better than leading a group. But, you know, with the band, it's like I have to do that. And it's good. I like it.
So with your songwriting, and you kind of mentioned that just kind of the influence is kind of greater than just a sound. How do you end up coming up with your songs? And kind of, I've noticed just in listening that, you know, definitely not everything sounds the same.
Right.
And there are definite, like, almost vignettes, like, of sound. So, and then you've done the videos as well. So kind of how does a concept come to you? And
you know, I usually start by writing chords out on a synthesizer or on a piano. And really, sometimes it's a sound I'll discover that'll inspire a thought, or I'll think of something and I'll think about what that sounds like. But it's very unpredictable, and I never really try to do anything. It just really kind of happens. And if it starts to not happen, usually it's a bad song. And I throw it away, or I brush it off to the side. I've got hard drives and four-track tapes to the ceiling of stuff that it was like that. It it had a vibe, and then it died, and I couldn't really get back to it. So, I don't know, it's a lot of luck, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have a good idea, and then you get lucky, and the whole combination kind of ends up, I think about my music very much like pop. You know, it's like when you listen to a big pop record, you have like the song that has this little Mexican influence, and then the song that has the Scandinavian whatever influence. And I don't try to go for that, but I like to think of it that way, because I just want to make pop music.
Yeah.
And I want to make big pop music. So I think pop musicians are allowed that, but like indie people are always like, everything sounds different, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. My voice always sounds the same, I think, so.
Yeah, it's just that the sounds are just interesting. I think partly just the synthesizer kind of use, you know, you can do different things with that than if, you know, you're just like, we have our, you know, typical band makeup.
Right.
That, you know, you're not going to get certain things unless someone's truly an artist on the guitar and knows exactly what they're doing, which is rare, I think. Yeah. But.
And my approach to synthesizers is that I like it when synthesizers sound like acoustic instruments, but have a more eerie quality to them. So I don't like big fat synthesizer sounds, you know. I like them to be kind of dirty and like broken sounding, you know, but still have that kind of sparkle to them.
Well, there's kind of like the characteristic of listening to a record almost versus like
it's like wobbly.
Yeah. Is there a song that you're particularly in love with right now, or that you just really enjoy
on the record?
Yeah. Or one that you play that you just love to play?
Forget the title track. It's kind of like, I always feel really good about that one.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
All right, well, thanks a lot for the time.
Yeah. Okay.